finding the words to say. When the dial is spinning wild, finding what was reconciled. Signal over noise. Cut through the white of noise. Raise up the focus, boys. Raise up the focus, boys. Turn in the focus bright into the core of the light.
Welcome to the debate.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We are diving into a really fascinating paradox today regarding enterprise AI architecture.
Right, so the core issue we're unpacking is this choice engineering teams face in 2026. When you're deploying LLM systems, do you consolidate your stack onto a single managed closed API provider, or do you decompose your agents and use a portfolio of open weight models?
Exactly. And this whole discussion stems directly from the recent issue number 21 report, which is titled, You Don't Pick a Model, You Pick an Expiration Date.
Which is a great title, by the way.
It really is. And it lays out the operational realities of AI adoption perfectly.
It does. And, well, just to lay my cards on the table right away, I am firmly on the side of consolidation. Standardizing on a managed, closed API model from one really strong provider is just a legitimate, pragmatic engineering choice because it preserves your scarce engineering talent for actual product development rather than babysitting infrastructure.
And I completely disagree. I view the portfolio approach as the only sane path. A model stack is fundamentally a set of leases with different expiry triggers. Decomposing your agents per step with open weights is really the only way a company retains control over when those leases are renegotiated.
Well, we'll see about that. But let's start with the central puzzle here, which is round one of our discussion, open weights or not.
Right.
Last year, 2025, was objectively the best year open weight models ever had, right? We saw OpenAI ship GPT-OS in 120 billion and 20 billion parameters under Apache 2.0.
Yep. A massive deal.
Right. And Alibaba dropped its entire QN3 lineup under Apache 2.0. DeepSeek gave us R1 under MIT. I mean, these are licenses a corporate legal team can approve without even scheduling a meeting.
Totally.
The capability gap basically closed. It stopped being the deciding factor for everyday enterprise tasks. And yet, and this is the wild part, enterprise open source share still plummeted from 19% to 11% in a single year.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
They don't. And I argue that this drop is just the market being completely rational. Capability parity on a white paper does not equal parity in production. The teams that just picked a managed API kept shipping product, while the open weight teams, you know, got bogged down.
See, I reject that premise entirely. That decline to 11% had almost nothing to do with capability or licensing.
Really? Then what was it?
It was switching costs. Look at the timeline. Llama stalled after its April release, and because moving AI infrastructure is incredibly expensive, teams that had standardized on it just stayed put.
They were stuck.
They weren't stuck. They were just, it cost more to move than to stay, so they stayed. That is massive switching cost showing up as a market statistic. It is not some ultimate verdict against open weights.
Okay, but even if I grant you that switching friction played a part, the friction of just running these open models is exactly my point. Let me give you an analogy.
Go for it.
Relying on self-hosted open weights is like owning a vintage sports car.
Oh, here we go.
No, seriously. The asset is yours forever, right? No one can take the keys away, but the highly specialized, tacit knowledge required to actually keep it running on the highway, that is concentrated in a tiny, fragile pool of mechanics.
Okay, but you just spin up a container and serve the weights.
It's not that simple and you know it. If the two engineers who actually understand your specific KV cache configuration decide to quit, your open weight model effectively expires that day. The checkpoint lives on, but the knowledge to serve it well is gone.
Okay, yes, the operational knowledge is specialized. I'll concede that a checkpoint doesn't expire, but the serving knowledge does. But we have to look at where open weights absolutely win.
Which is where?
Der.
Fair. I agree that if you have extreme data privacy constraints or massive, totally predictable volume, open weights win. But for everyone else, closed APIs win on time to first value. You get frontier reasoning without having to own an inference stack.
But that reliance on frontier reasoning everywhere is exactly why companies are bleeding cash.
How so?
Let's move to the second issue, standardizing versus decomposing. Think about a standard six-step loan servicing agent.
Okay, tracking.
A customer emails in. The agent does intent classification, entity extraction, retrieval and re-ranking, policy reasoning, tool orchestration, and response drafting. Six steps.
Right.
If you standardize on one managed API, you're using a frontier model with an IQ of 140 for step one, intent classification.
Which works perfectly.
But it's mathematically trivial. And that step might be 10,000 calls a day. Only step four, the policy reasoning, which is maybe 3% of your traffic, actually needs that massive brain. Decomposing the agent step by step means you aren't overspending on your highest volume tasks.
Yeah, you save on the token cost, but you are introducing a massive operational tax. Managing a mixed open and closed stack just for different steps in one loop, that's engineering theater.
It's not theater, it's basic cost control.
But what about orchestration latency? If you decompose, you're routing data between multiple models, passing context over the network repeatedly. Doesn't that latency completely offset the fractions of a penny you saved on the API call?
Not if you measure it correctly. Look, standardizing is fine for low-volume, highly complex systems. But decomposing is absolutely essential for high-volume pipelines where steps are computationally expensive at scale.
Fine. Standardize for complexity, decompose for volume. But when teams do hit that cost wall on a frontier model, their first instinct is to just rip out the engine and change the model completely.
Right, which brings us to the reasoning dials.
Yes, turning the dial versus changing the engine.
Because in 2026, we have these amazing levers. OpenAI has the reasoning effort parameter, Anthropic has adaptive thinking. If you need a cheaper model, it's often just a configuration problem.
I disagree completely.
Why? It takes one afternoon to change a parameter to low, and there is zero migration risk to test it? It's the cheapest lever you have.
It is a trap. Using those reasoning dials is just a way to defer a tough architectural decision. It's like putting a speed governor on a racehorse.
A racehorse?
Yes. You might save some of the horse's energy, but you are still paying the daily stable fee for a racehorse when you actually just needed a pony for the job. If you have to bottom out the dial to make the economics work, you're just delaying an inevitable migration.
But delaying it makes sense. Exhausting the dials is a data gathering exercise. It tells you exactly what level of compute you actually need before you spend a quarter of engineering time doing a full migration.
I'll accept that it's a good first step for data gathering. But you don't own those dials. Vendors deprecate parameters all the time. Remember when Anthropic deprecated the temperature and top K parameters on Claude Opus 4.7?
Yeah, that broke a lot of pipelines.
Exactly. Silently broke them. So use the dial to measure, sure, but don't pretend it's a permanent fix.
Fair enough, but let's talk about what happens when they finally do migrate to an open model to save money.
Oh, the headcount bill?
Right. People look at their API invoice, compare it to raw AWS GPU costs, and they pop the champagne.
And they shouldn't. Because the GPU bill is the small number.
Right.
If you go open weights, the massive, unscalable cost is the 2 to 4 engineers you have to hire. They're doing capacity planning, dealing with tokenizer edge cases, waking up at 3 a.m. for throughput incidents, and that cost doesn't scale down.
I know, but regulated deployments don't have a choice. Data residency forces their hand. And frankly, people complain too much about the burden of self-hosting.
Complain too much? It's a nightmare to manage.
It's just ordinary supply chain hygiene. A model weight file is a third-party binary. You pin it, you hash it, you sandbox it on first load. It's the exact same defense we used against the CVE 2025-1555 pickle scan bypass.
I have to stop you there. Treating model weights like ordinary binaries fundamentally misunderstands large language models.
How so?
It's software.
No, it's non-deterministic software. If a normal binary has a bug, it crashes, an alarm goes off. If an LLM has an infrastructure bug, it doesn't crash. It just silently degrades in its reasoning.
Well, yeah, but...
Wait, let me finish this thought, because this ties into the quantization gotcha. Everyone thinks they can just compress a model to INT4 or GGUF to fit it on a cheaper GPU.
Which works. But it silently inflates your token counts. To reach the same correct answer with a lower resolution brain, the quantized model has to talk out loud for much longer.
It generates more hidden reasoning tokens, which eats your latency budget and erases your expected savings. The artifact you ship is not the model you evaluated.
Okay, that quantization gotcha is very real. I'll give you that. But it just proves my point that self-hosting is a headcount decision, not a licensing one. You need the staff to monitor that degradation.
Exactly. So if a team doesn't have the headcount, but they need specialized behavior, they usually climb the specialization ladder.
Reg, prompting, fine-tuning.
Right. And here's where people make another huge mistake. They think training a custom LoRa adapter is building a competitive moat. It is not. It is a depreciating asset.
I don't see it that way. It's your proprietary data.
The data is yours, yes. But the adapter? A LoRa is just a set of mathematical deltas pointing to specific synapses in a frozen base model.
Right.
It's like building a custom, highly expensive foundation for a mobile home. When the vendor supersedes that base model, the internal architecture shifts. Those coordinates don't exist anymore. Your adapter is useless. It's just a subscription with a manual renewal.
Okay, the adapter itself expires, yes. But the labeled data, the evaluation suite you built to validate it, those are perfectly durable. They port to any new base model.
If you actually built a durable pipeline, sure.
Right. And let's be real, only 16% of enterprise deployments are true autonomous agents anyway. For most people, traditional prompting and RAG are still the highest ROI moves on the ladder. You only climb to fine-tuning when you have a highly specific gap to fill.
Which brings us to how we actually measure those gaps and what standard benchmarks completely miss.
Yes. Round 6. This is my favorite part of the report.
Because everyone looks at these single-shot knowledge benchmarks and sees smaller models scoring right behind the massive ones, and they think, great, let's put this 8 billion parameter model in charge of an agentic system.
And it completely fails.
Completely. But why?
Look at the Sierra Tau Bench research. Smaller models and agentic systems don't fail on reasoning. They fail on tool call reliability.
Right. They emit malformed arguments.
Exactly. They pick the wrong tool between two similar options. They lose state across turns. And worse, they have terrible recovery after an EPI error.
This is the pass at 1 versus pass at 8 measurement upgrade, right?
Yes. Standard benchmarks measure pass at 1. Can you get the right answer on the first try in a sterile environment? Production measures pass at 8. Can you hit a network timeout, read the error, correct your JSON schema, and try again 8 times in a row?
Which causes a massive drop in performance.
A staggering 60% drop in performance for models like GPT-4o when you move from pass at 1 to pass at 8.
You know, it's like a spelling bee versus a busy restaurant kitchen.
I like that.
A standard benchmark is a spelling bee. You get one chance in a quiet room to be smart. But production tool calling is the kitchen. Being smart doesn't matter if you drop the plates the second a waiter changes an order midstream.
Exactly. Which is why your evas tweet has to contain assertions on tool call behavior, not just final answer correctness.
Absolutely. So as we wrap this up, I think we actually converge quite a bit on the central claim of the report.
We do.
Whether you consolidate on a managed API like I suggest, or you decompose into open weights like you prefer, the true cost is measured in maintenance and switching friction.
Yeah. Acknowledging that these tools are just temporary leases allows you to architect defensively. You never really pick a model. You just pick how often you're going to have to pick again.
And that evaluation suite, the one testing the spelling bee and the busy kitchen, that is literally the only asset in your stack that does not expire.
Spot on. A quarterly reevaluation cadence turns a traumatic two-quarter model switch into a routine two-day exercise.
So let's give the listeners the 3 concrete actions they can take on Monday to actually implement this.
Right. Action 1. Instrument 1. High-volume step in your pipeline with pass at 8 to uncover that hidden unreliability we talked about.
Action 2. Exhaust the reasoning effort dial on your current model before you evaluate a new one. Find out if it's just a configuration problem.
And action 3. Write a 1-page lease register. Map out every single model in production. Write down its lease type and clearly define its expiry trigger.
Because if you view your AI infrastructure through the lens of continuous renegotiation, you won't be caught off guard when your lease is finally up.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all the time we have for this discussion. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.